Are you ready for this?
Sean Merriman, a one-hand sack. Boom, 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 out go the lights.
This is Lights Out with Sean Merriman.
What's up, guys? We're back again with another Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman. And we got just a stone cold beast, somebody who played the game the way it was supposed to be played. Every day, day in, day out, just went at it hard. From Houston, Texas, Brian Cushing. I was watching Cush since he was a linebacker at USC. Well, I'll ask him coming up. I seen him do the lights out dance, man. And that's my first time really. And I watched him in college, but that's my first time where I was glued to this guy because he played the game the way it's supposed to be played. So I'm going to ask him about the 17-game season, how he feels about that, his career, and what he's looking at doing. I know he was a strength conditioning coach for some time down at the Houston, Texas organization. And is he looking to coach and do more things after that? So, Brian Cushing. What up, dude?
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Busy but good.
Yeah?
Can't complain.
So you out there in Texas still right now, right? That's where you're located.
Yeah, we're in Houston, man. We're here for a little bit, foreseeable future. You know, we got the two boys in school, the young baby. So it's kind of tough to move right now, unless an opportunity came up. But I'm in no rush to find anything right now.
Yeah, what's that opportunity?
maybe coaching? Maybe. I was with the team last 2 years. I would go back.
On the strength and conditioning side.
And I was helping with linebackers a good amount, too. Good deal, good experience to be back in the NFL, especially with the team I played for. But, it'd also be cool to get an experience with a different organization or just a different league altogether, college, high school, whatever. But the main thing, though, is just boys are getting bigger, getting older. I'm coaching their baseball. I'm coaching their football. So right now, that's just the priority.
Yeah, just do you see yourself getting back in? Because you know how those coaching hours are crazy. And, we go there and normally our Wednesdays and Thursdays are crazy long. But
yeah,
think of how long the coaches Wednesdays and Thursdays, 13, 14 hours. You ready to get back into that?
I don't know. I honestly can't answer that. But I tell you what, one thing is I always had respect. I always had respect for the coaches. I always had respect for the time they put in. But there was a newfound respect for all staff members going back. Cafeteria workers, equipment guys. I mean, strength conditioning, sports medicine. They are there all day just trying to craft the best team possible, and a lot of thankless jobs of people that, you kind of take for granted while you're playing, because the only thing you see is the time you're there, right?
Right.
So it's that short span, that short window of the hours that you're there during the day, and then you go live your normal life. But there's another 6-8 hours that, all those people are still at the stadium grinding to put a great game plan, a great travel itinerary together for you. So there's so much work that goes into it. It was a real good opportunity to go back and kind of see all that in a different light.
Dude, because people ask me all the time, would I get back into coaching? And I said, my son's 10.
Yeah.
Maybe I would coach one of his teams or I would go back and coach high school because the hours, isn't the same. But going to that college level or going to that pro level, and probably more so pro than college, because pro it's that's your job. You're doing it all day. You're not in the facility and stuff like that. You're there all damn day.
Right.
I said that's the only thing that's stopping me from getting back into coaches. I can't do it.
No, the hours are crazy. The hours are crazy. It's a full commitment and it's all year round. There is no off season for coaches, man. Like they get a couple weeks off broken up here and there. And that's the one thing about the NFL and especially coaching, like you truly have to love it. You have to be all about it all the time, because if you're not, it'll expose you, man, and you'll be miserable.
And another thing is, I said, I got to go back and coach a me. If I come across another me that's talking shit,
and it will happen.
Not staying in your gap. If I see a play, I'm going to make it. I'm going under the block, but damn it, I'm going to make the play. I said, I would go crazy if I got to deal with that.
No doubt. As long as he makes the play, that's my rule, right?
Yeah, that's it. So, hey, so what else, man? Because I know you don't post this, but I know we talk about it in your jiu-jitsu and how long that How did that happen for you, man? Because when I started with Jay Glazer.
Yep.
Like back in 2005, 2006.
Yep.
And they were just telling me, say, you know what? Just go get better with your hand-eye coordination, your hips being able to open up and do that and get better with your hands. So I said, okay, cool. I'll try it out.
Yeah.
I walk in the gym one day and next thing I know, Jay Glazer's right there and then Randy Couture's there. And so I'm like, yo, I'm thinking that he's bringing me in there to spar with Randy Couture. And I said, right. This is the guys, look, this ain't going down today.
Right.
It's
right,
not happening.
Yeah.
So how did you, what made you get into it?
So I actually had a real similar experience too. After my first year in the NFL, I went back to school at USC and I finished up my degree. And while I was there, Jay invited me out to come train. So we had trained that off season just a little bit. It was a bunch of sparring and a bunch of grappling, takedowns. Chuck was there, Chuck Liddell, you know, I had an opportunity to roll with him. It was a miserable experience, but it was a learning experience. It was humbling, but it was awesome at the same time. And then, around 2015, my oldest son was about 3 years old at the time. And I've been talking to my father-in-law who wrestled all throughout college, was a national champion at BYU, my wife's dad. And, he had mentioned jiu-jitsu as far as getting my kids into it. My 3-year-old was, hyperactive, all over the house, very aggressive, you know? So we had, looked up some places in Houston. My wife found a Gracie Baja out here. And we took him over there. I had no idea what to expect, but, you know, just see the transformation in his attention, his discipline, and just his kind of overall body control. It was the perfect combination. So I'd watched it for a couple of years with both my boys. Then my younger one got into it when he was about 2.5. They let him on the mats a little bit early, but he was more than ready with having an older brother. So he was excited to get out there. And it wasn't until I was officially done playing about 6 months after the head professor over there, Opiano Malachias, asked me, you know, why don't you come out and try this? Like, I see... He could see there was something missing from my life. It was that kind of that awkward gap after you're done playing, and there's just a void, right? That you have to fill, that you have to fulfill again. And it was the perfect transition for me. It was so much more technical than I had ever realized. I just thought, you know, the bigger guy, stronger guy would always win. More athletic guy would always win, or tougher. It wasn't until I got out into the mats and realized just how every single detail was so important. Losing to 185-pound, 190-pound guys and being a little annoyed, but mostly humble. And it kept me coming back. It kept me wanting me to learn more, to get better, to get more technical, to get on the level of these guys. So, in a crazy way, it was almost also therapeutic for me. You know, I know a lot of guys after football like to go play golf and relax. And it just wasn't for me. I tried it for a little bit. It's fun, but it didn't give me that same sensation and fulfillment that I got from playing football. And I think as linebackers, you know exactly what I'm talking about right now. So it was just one of those things that once I got into jiu-jitsu, I just went full speed into it. I'm about 2.5, almost 3 years in. Blue belt, working on a purple belt. Maybe eventually start competing, but would like to continue to get better before I really go out there and, you know, go against guys that it is their profession.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
So you're talking about competing more of the kind of the flow grappling or jiu-jitsu tournaments on that part of it, right? Not full MMA.
Correct. No, I don't think so. And I'm not completely ruling that out ever. I just have no experience doing it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of the last sport you just want to jump into and think that, you know, you can just roll it out there. You know, as a guy who's taken enough hits to the head, that's I probably need some more preparation before I step out there. But that's the thing I like about grappling, too. It's a lot safer than people kind of make it out to be in jiu-jitsu. Obviously, you need to know when to tap. You know, an ankle, a knee, or anything can go at the wrong time, and have to know when you're in real vulnerable situations and where you are in true danger. So that just comes with more experience as well. But as of right now, I would probably tailor it more towards grappling slash jujitsu.
I tell everybody this, especially when you get done playing, that it's good to maybe even while you're playing, pick up that discipline, right? Whether it's jujitsu, yep, whether it's some kind of grappling. I mean, I remember the first day that we went in there, I was just pummeling, right? And I was just, I was tired as hell. This is the first day I was in there and I was exhausted. We didn't get on the ground. Yeah. We didn't do anything. We were just pummeling and kind of moving around and I was exhausted. So I try to tell those guys, especially, you know, when you're done and you got that free space, pick up some kind of combat sport. If it's boxing, if it's, you know, light sparring, rolling, grab, whatever that other discipline is, because that's, to me, and you just spoke on it, it starts to fill a void of having that 330-pound offensive lineman right across from you, and he's trying to compete and get you on the ground or throw you around or whatever that is. Like that, to me, it started to wake me up again in the morning. I had a reason to get up when I was going to spar and I was training, and I just felt better about everything else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's just, you know, why did we choose football in the first place? It did something to us. It was a physical competitive sport. And as, you know, Chris doesn't, like you're saying, and you're preaching to guys, and I've tried to pull more guys in, even that are currently playing, because it's one thing that I wish I did while I was still playing.
So you said that you wish that you were playing, like doing it while you were training jiu-jitsu or doing some kind of combat sport while you were playing?
I do. You know, and I've thought more about it as I've started training. I think that there's so many relatable things that transition so well, especially from a linebacker position, from wrestling and jiu-jitsu, body control. You know, double leg takedowns that translate directly into tackles, just separation of getting people off you, understanding hand and wrist control, understanding momentum. And, you know, whether you're still playing or done playing, I really truly believe it is the perfect transition from one sport to another. And on top of it, obviously, the cardiovascular load that you just take on. I mean, there is nothing to me harder than grappling. When you're going as hard as you can in an individual sport versus another person for time, and you know that everything depends on you winning or you'll be on the bottom getting choked out, that's a brutal workout right there.
You know, it's crazy you said that. So I had when I first started, I had a 185-pound guy that I could not get off the ground. He had me on the ground, about a 190. He had me on the ground and I could not get up. Yep. Every time I tried to get up, he would take me right back down. Yes. And so when I tell people, I was like, it's the most humbling shit that you ever dealt with. Like,
no doubt.
You looking at this dude, you see him, you're like, man, I'm going to crush this cat. I'm going to crush him.
Yep.
And he's taking you down. He's doing whatever he wants with you because he just has that discipline.
He does. It's super frustrating, but it's also motivating at the same time, because that's the kind of stuff that got me to keep coming back. Like, how does he know exactly what to do in that situation?
Hey, so you know one thing I wanted to bring up? So when you were in college, man, and this was crazy. I was at my locker, and you guys' game was on, and you hit the lights out dance. And so I was in front of my locker. Vincent Jackson came running over to me and said, "Yo, lights, look, this linebacker Brian Cushing just did the lights out dance." I said, "Get the hell out of here!" And I run over to the TV and I'm watching. They replayed it, and I think you got a flag on that play. Yeah. And so, yo, I mean, we went, everybody, Darren Sproles, we all went crazy in the locker room when we seen that, man. What happened at that? Like, did you plan that, or would you watch and say, "I'm gonna get a sack or get a big hit and do it," or just happened?
Absolutely, man. Me, Clay Matthews, all the guys were huge fans, man. I mean, obviously, we were right in Los Angeles. You guys were in San Diego at the time. You guys were just steamrolling people on defense, and it was one of those things that I think it was my third sack in the Rose Bowl. And it was like, I got to do it now. And we were winning in the game. We were going to win. And I just had to let it loose. I had to let it loose and show the celebration, man. I was a big fan. And it was one of those moments. I knew it was a national spotlight. I had to do it.
Dude, it was next level. We went crazy in the locker room watching the game. And, that was dope. Who were some of your other guys that you watched? Because you played the game, man, like it. I look at it like a handful of guys, and obviously people saw you on Sunday, but I think for me personally, it would kind of change everything watching you play was the Hard Knocks you guys had. And I got a chance. Everybody's seen you in practice. We saw this intensity every day. So who did you kind of mold your game? Who's some of the guys that you watched growing up?
Yeah. You know, I think growing up, I was a huge Lawrence Taylor fan. Growing up right in New Jersey, was a Giants fan at the time, more of a fan of football. And then I slowly transitioned over to Ken Norton Jr., who then was my linebacker coach at USC. Just a surreal opportunity to kind of be able to play with him, be coached by him, be with him every single day. And then as I got older, it was Patrick Willis, Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, just guys that played hard, man. Guys that demanded respect. That was the thing. As a linebacker was just in position. It was about an attitude as well. Like, you had to be felt. Like, you had to be feared. There was nothing like hitting someone and seeing the whole other team just staring at you. Like, thank God that was him and not me, right? Because it's one of those positions, like, you have to from the start of a game instill yourself. And I love playing the position. I love playing it aggressively. But it was the one thing which was, I think, I'm most proud of, but was also my downfall in my career, was how hard I went every day. Because I think eventually it just wore me down mentally and physically. But I could not stomach someone getting the better of me, even in practice. So, and I knew, you know, as a linebacker and one of the alphas in the defense, you were going to be tested every single day. You were going to get every best running back. You were going to get every best tight end. Every single guy wanted to take you out when he was pulling. But I could not be okay with taking a playoff and letting him get the best of me. So, you know, whether it was practice, and you can ask coaches, players on the team, anyone, I would knock myself out in practice because it was that important to me, where probably I should have, you know, tailored it a little bit, taken it down, saved for the games. But I just felt every time I went on the field, that was my name. That was my reputation. There was no more important people to impress than my teammates.
And I feel the same thing. I played through stuff that I probably shouldn't have played through. Maybe I should have.
No doubt.
If something was going to take 2 or 3 weeks to heal, I should have took all 2 or 3 weeks and came back and got better instead of, you know, having that mentality to go, 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 go. And I'm not sitting down. I'm playing through everything. You become this warrior. And sometimes it come back and bite you in the ass. And it did. And while I stopped playing early, do you think now in today's game, and I'm going to that 17 game season, do you think you'll be able to play a whole entire year?
Possibly. I think it would be hit or miss. You know, I mean, obviously it is just one more game, but I think that, you know, you and I can personally attest to how hard every single game is, especially later in the year. And my biggest thing and my concern is, does it take away from the importance of the in-conference rivalry games? You know, if a team is 12-0, are they going to sit their guys last three games? I don't know. But as physical as a game as it is already, I'm not a big fan at all about adding another one, especially we're talking about the same pay for these guys, right? You want to add a game, add another paycheck. And I'm not really sure. I can't personally say how many guys I've talked to that are still playing that even agreed to this in the first place. So a lot of these decisions are made, and it seems like no one ever had a say about it.
100%. And I say this, man, like, we all know, especially when you get done with the game, you're going to have a shoulder, you're going to have a knee, finger, wrist, lower back, ankle. Something is going to be disfigured on you for life. That's just a part of it.
Yeah.
But as long as I'm compensated appropriately for it, where I can take care of my family, I can take care of the things, and I'm putting my body in the line, I don't have a problem with it. So when I sat back and saw that, I had to go back and look at and see the pay structure. It's something different.
Right.
And I saw that there really was no different. And I said, hold on.
Yeah.
Who voted for this? Who had their hand in this? Because anybody that played the game like we playing the game isn't going to be on board with this.
Right. Now, that's the thing. You know, you talk with guys that are still playing all the time. I talk with guys that are still playing all the time and former guys. Unless you are, you know, head of the NFLPA, I'm not sure who really has a say. I'm not really sure. At the end of the day, I'm not sure how many guys actually have a say and if their vote really, really matters. I feel like Eli's decision is already pre-made.
100%. So what's next, man? You get the right opportunity, whether it's a college, pro, the right opportunity to come and coach.
Yeah.
That's a direction you're looking at going in.
I think I can see myself getting back into coaching eventually. I think a lot is going to be determined on the future of my boys at home, what they want to do, how involved they want to be in how many different sports. you know, a lot of these schools down here are getting real selective with these one sport athletes, where I'm pushing multi-sports. So that's making it tougher on us as we're busy year round, but you know, there's nothing I'd rather do, but I'm not ruling out coaching somewhere else if the right opportunity was to come up.
Cool thing, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you for coming on, and then I'll be down there, man. I'm gonna come get some work.
Absolutely.
That's one thing I just started getting on the ground this year. I've been standing up, you know, most of my time in training MMA or training combat sports in general. Yes. And during the pandemic was the first time when the private gyms opened back up that I started getting onto the ground. And like you said before, it's fun as hell for me because every day I'm learning something. Yeah. It gets me out of the bed. As soon as I get off right now, I'm going to go roll and get me some work in. So I'm coming down there, man, getting some work for sure.
Let me know, man. I'm excited. I'll be looking forward to it. Always.
Okay, my dude. Appreciate it, man.
All right, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening to another Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman. And, man, I didn't know that that Kush was that into jiu-jitsu. I know we talked about it at some point in time and a little bit, but I didn't know that he was doing it on a daily basis. But he agrees in one thing that I said. I believe that all athletes, I don't care what sport, football, basketball, baseball, rugby, track, whatever it is, soccer, that when you're done, you should pick up some kind of combat sport. You know, most people, I guess, kind of look at it as going to get punched in the face. And it's not like that at all. You have many forms, many disciplines of combat sports. And it's something that you can compete in when you're done playing. Lights out, extreme fighting. But had to drop that nugget. But anyway, thank you guys for listening to another Lights Out podcast. Me, Sean Merriman. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave those great reviews. I read all of them. And I think we went over a few hundred thousand now downloads and subscriptions. So I'm losing count, man. We're growing. It's all because of you guys. So I appreciate that. Keep subscribing. Leaving those great reviews. Talk to you guys next week.